Weight Watchers now offers access to affordable GLP-1s.
Weight Watchers has everything I need, from weight loss medications to nutrition support and help with my side effects.
With our program, our members are losing more weight with expert nutrition and side effect support.
Weight Watchers prescribing GLP-1 medications, it's been life-changing.
Better results, expert support, lose more weight, make it last. Get started for as low as $25 at weightwatchers.com.
All medications require eligibility and prescription. First month as low as $25 with a 12-month med plus plan. Does not include the cost of GLP-1 medications.
It's gone.
It's pretty good.
Hi.
Hi.
It's me.
It was me. Hi, how are you, Vicky?
I'm terrible.
Same.
Oh, I'm terrible. I'm tired. I'm groggy.
It's okay.
What's wrong with you?
Do I want to get into this?
Should we move closer to the mic?
Yes. Hello.
We're going to have a very intimate recording today.
We do. Why? How am I? I'm fine. It's been a rough couple of days. Not to get into
Oh, you have real reasons. Sorry. I forgot. Oh, my God. This is embarrassing. This is recorded as well.
This is my support system, guys.
You really apologize.
It's just the war with Iran. And America is impacting people who I'm very close with. And, yeah, so there's been a lot of fear, a lot of stuff. This episode isn't about that.
And now let's talk about the Scream franchise.
I'm okay. Everyone I know is okay. They're fine. They evacuated. And this is a great chance to think about something else. That's my situation.
I didn't sleep very well last night.
Right. And Victor didn't sleep very well last night. We had it all as well. So do you want to take a chance to say, because I don't know if everybody had the chance to look at my social media, but thank you everybody who's reached out. I'm sorry if I've not gotten back to you or anything like that. It's just been a lot. My phone has been very hot lately, and I will get back to you in the meantime, but I just want to say I appreciate it. So thank you everybody who's been reaching out.
And thank you too. I don't know. I'm sorry.
I apologize. It's a very weird situation. Yeah. Like, you don't really know. I don't know what to say.
No. Really.
And I usually, like, I'm very good at saying things.
Oh, we can't stop you most of the time.
Calm down. Oh. I don't know what to say. But, like, it's ongoing. So we'll see how things go and shake out. But, yeah. Moving on, we're here today. we are gathered here today. Oh, I don't like how I started that. That's a bit ominous.
Well, it's kind of appropriate. They've never had a funeral in those films, but
they didn't, did they?
No, I don't think they have.
I guess they don't have time. I
mean, no.
Time one is down. We're talking about the Scream franchise, by the way. It felt like an appropriate time to talk about it. New Scream movie's out. Are you going to watch it?
No. Are you?
No. You know what? No. That's a lie. Tell a lie. I will watch it. I won't watch it in any way that it will benefit anybody involved.
I will one day watch it.
As I sail the high seas.
Yes.
Yes.
I was about to say, I don't want to talk about the ways in which I watch it. How I will watch it will not be spoken about.
I really hope, well, just to get it out of the way, to be clear, you're not pirating, because I'm definitely not pirating.
I would never
pirate. I'm just going to watch it on a yacht.
Yeah. I have an admiration for the Somali people.
They are the captain now.
They are the captain now.
I have no interest in giving my money to Spyglass Media any longer.
Fucking hell.
Is it Paramount?
Oh, I'm not sure, actually. I know it's Spyglass because I've been reading much shit about them. But I don't know who the main company is anymore.
I want to say it's Paramount, but...
What happened to Dimension Films? Because that is a moment... When the Dimension Films logo comes up, I'm like... That hits a little... that hits a little something in my heart.
I mean, honestly, it's probably got bought by Disney, like everything else has.
Yeah.
Or was that just like Wes Craven's specifically?
No, it was like, what should I Google? Should I Google Dimension Films or should I Google?
I want to know what studio it is.
Okay, let's Google what studio it is. Hang on. What's it called? Scream 7.
This is why people listen to podcasts, so they're Googling for you.
It's Paramount.
It's Paramount.
That's Paramount.
Yeah, so fuck Paramount too, just to get that out there.
Well, they're going the way of evil.
They've been the way of evil. Yeah. I mean, they're our new corporate overlord. I feel like we're getting closer and closer to that reality. You know how people say that eventually everything will be Disney? Like, mm-hmm. I think now everything will either be Disney or Paramount. So mm-hmm. Declare yourself which side of the war you'll be fighting, you know?
I remember... No, this is going off into some weird thing. Dimension Films was Bob Weinstein's company Oh, okay. And then, yeah, it's loads of stuff. It's, like, associated with Paramount and Miramax and all this stuff. But, yeah, Dimension Films is the, like, horror branch of Miramax, kind of.
Okay.
But I just remember those from all those slasher movies, all those kind of Scream-adjacent movies were all kind of Dimension
God,
films.
I really miss when they, like, there was a kind of identity.
To yes, like to each studio, yes.
We don't really have that anymore. Do you remember, like, New Line? Do you remember Searchlight? Do
yes. The A24 is the only one.
It's the only one that has managed to, like, cling to that. And I guess Tyler Perry Studios. I watched... Actually, this is maybe a good recommendation for people. Don't know if this relates a lot to what we're saying, but FD Signifier's video.
I haven't seen it. I've been meaning to watch it, especially because, like...
Mm-hmm. It keeps getting taken off.
Yeah. And somebody on TikTok was like, it's Tyler Perry. He's doing this himself. He does everything himself. He's doing this himself.
He's his own lawyer.
Yeah.
He's actually in drag. His character is Maloya.
She works in HR. Yeah.
She's a paralegal.
Yeah. Very sassy. She has a gun.
So, yeah. So many guns.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, it's a good video. Highly recommend everybody watch it if you see it online because it keeps getting taken off. I managed to catch it like literally within an hour when it was up. And he starts it off being like, this will likely get taken off. So I was like, well, I guess I'm here for the next 3-4 hours.
Oh, God.
Watching this. Well, I say 3-4 hours. You know me, I'm a double speed kind of girly.
Oh, you are. That's true.
So it took me two.
Well, I wasn't super excited for this one like I was a lot of his other ones. Mm-hmm. I just don't... I don't think I've ever seen a Tyler Perry film. Apart from Gone Girl. I mean
that's not a Tyler Perry film. That's a Tyler Perry feature.
But I can't deal with... My Tyler Perry is Gone Girl, and when Tracy Jordan started his own studio, his own Tyler Perry style studio on 30 Rock.
That's
my how I know Tyler Perry.
I think as a self-identified vocalist, that's a good category for our Patreon tier.
Oh yeah,
vocalistas.
Well, that's something to talk about in a minute.
We'll get to that. Yes. I think if you're a vocalista, a girl who spends a lot of her time looking at like black women singing on YouTube, you're gonna run into Tyler Perry, because Tyler Perry's whole thing is like what was when he was doing a plays was just hiring like the best church singers that you'll ever hear. And that's why they were partly so popular, and they were all musicals. Which didn't make the transition as he moved to studio.
I was just about to ask, have they been musicals the whole time and I didn't realize?
Like, a lot of his stage plays, yeah, were musicals. His first play was, I believe, just a straight play. Wasn't very successful, but then he turned it to a musical. And then it became very successful, I believe.
Oh,
yeah.
How interesting.
So yeah, it's a lot there with Tyler Perry, but I guess there is some relation to Spyglass Media, Tyler Perry Studios. They both have... interesting practices, hiring practices.
They have to fire. Interesting firing practices, yeah.
But yeah, so I guess that's the long way into saying that today you and I are talking about Scream. Let's start with like the standard question. Victor, tell me, what is your relationship to the Scream franchise?
So the Scream franchise, it's interesting actually, because I think a lot of people our age, in like their 30s, have a similar relationship to Scream, where it was actually what got me into horror films. I saw it when I was...
Sure.
A bit too young for it. I was probably about 10 and I begged my mom to watch it and she watched it with me.
Mm-hmm.
And I loved it.
Did she like it?
She thought it was fine. I don't think she was really paying attention. She was more worried about me getting freaked out about it. Because it was like going to be on TV. It was years after it came out. I begged her to see it. She was sitting worried about me. But then I was completely fine. I loved it. I ended up getting it on DVD somehow when I was way too young. And I learned about... So it's supposed to be this kind of referential meta thing. Hey!
CinemaSin score goes up.
I wasn't even trying.
Fuck CinemaSins too, as you go.
But yeah, it's supposed to be this kind of meta looking back on other horror films of the 80s mostly. And it was how I discovered that kind of slasher genre. It's kind of weird how a lot of us kind of worked backwards on this stuff. We kind of found out about all these, this whole genre, like through Scream.
Yeah.
And then if you go on beyond into Scream 2 and stuff, I found out about a bunch of other stuff. Like, I saw Scream 2 way before I saw Terminator 2 or something. And I caught up on all those references as they went on.
So I didn't really grow up liking horror films. My mother loved horror films. And I think I was like 9 and she made me watch Carrie.
Really?
Carrie 2. Which, I think it was like
the Carrie 2 The Rage or something?
I think so.
Is it in the 90s?
Yes.
Yeah.
And there was like, I remember a scene happening like by a pool and like an expensive house. And
I haven't seen it. I just remember reading about
it. Yeah. But that scarred me. It made me believe horror film is not for me. So I kind of like stayed away from it. For the most part. And maybe really like really now I'm challenging that. Anyway, besides the point. But Scream, I did end up watching because I think there's something about the meta aspect of it that made the film student in my head be like, oh, okay, pay attention. Like, I find that interesting.
I think there's like a... It's referential in such an obvious way that it appeals to young nerds because it's kind of... there's an implication of homework.
And it's not scary. Excuse me. It's not gory. In a way.
No, it's not super gory, no.
I think there's something about the slasher specifically that clean, that makes sense.
Yes, the whole thing is very clean girl aesthetic. It's
very... and you know me, I'm a very clean girl.
Yeah.
but yeah, so there was certain thing about it that made it didn't like, it didn't ping my anti-horror radar. And it wasn't supernatural scary, so I think that also helped it not feel very scary to me.
I think it might be the clean girl aesthetic. I think it might be a few things. I think it might be the clean girl aesthetic. It might be the... the humor, it might be like the kind of nerdy self-referentialness of it. I think it really appeals to non-horror fans.
Can you give me your Scream rankings? What's your favorite and what's your least favorite?
Oh, I thought we'd save this for the end. Okay. So mine would be Scream 1, I think ultimate, one of my favorite films of all time.
Okay.
Oh, no, maybe I should start backwards. I'll start with my least favorite, sorry.
Well, you already spoiled the first.
Yeah, that's true.
It's a tight race to the second.
Yeah, so my least favorite is Scream 5, which I think is like perfectly...
Which one is that?
Oh, no, sorry. My least favorite is Scream 4, which is the one with Emma Roberts.
Okay.
And that's got a good ending, I think, and that's it. And I think it's pretty much got nothing else going
for it. I think
it
has lesbian Hayden Panettiere in there. But
she's not lesbian at all.
I read her as lesbian personally.
She's got short hair.
That's enough for me.
She's like literally making out with boys in that
film. She had Kate Gosling hair. What? Oh, wow. The erasure. I see you, Victor.
Well, that's a bisexual erasure. That's not a lesbian.
Yes, but bisexuality on the way.
The road to lesbianism.
After a while, I feel like we all get sick of men, don't we?
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah.
I'm sick of him right now. Okay, yeah. Hayden Panettiere's Scream.
Hayden Panettiere's Scream would be my least favorite. She's one of the few saving graces of that film, I think.
I thought Emma Roberts was great in it.
I actually did think Emma Roberts was great, but she's not great until the end.
They don't really give her much to do.
No, she hasn't got all that much to do. But Emma Roberts was great.
Yeah. It's a good twist.
Then I would have Scream 5, which I think is like fine. It has its moments. I actually think Melissa Barrera is not good. I don't like
her. I think she's really bad in that first one.
I think she's bad.
In the second one, she is better in the second one. I did feel that significantly.
Oh, okay. I think she got better towards the end of the first one as well.
Yeah.
I think that final scene.
And I think like the ending of the sixth one made it feel like, okay, you can do whatever it's about to ask you to do. Because the sixth one seemed to indicate that she was about to turn bad. You know?
Oh, yeah.
That's always the edge in those reboots. But, like, and I was like, okay, I feel like I could see her doing that better. But maybe playing, like, the journey towards that wasn't great.
Yeah. I think 5 was too dependent on 1 as well. Like, it was too... There are limits to irony and self-reflection and all of this. Self-reference and referentialness.
Yeah.
There's limits to that, and it was running thin by that point.
That's like the third time on the tally.
I'm sorry. it's going to keep happening as well.
I guess it's the most appropriate place to happen.
Yeah.
Like, this is a very referential series.
But yeah, so then it would be... So it's 4, 5, 6... Which 6 I kind of liked. I think it didn't quite live up to its potential, but there were some good bits. 6 is the one in New York City. So I don't think it fully lived up to its potential, but it had a lot of moments that I enjoyed. And I think they did a good job of taking advantage of the new setting. They'd never set it anywhere like that, which I liked. Then 2 is my second favorite. 1 is my favorite. And 3 is like a completely different thing that I love, but I don't even consider it like a Scream film proper. Yeah. It feels almost like Scary Movie. It feels like something else. So I love 3 on its own terms as like a completely separate, ridiculous thing. Jenna McCarthy's scream. Exactly. Jenny McCarthy's scream. Yes, exactly, exactly. And it feels like Jenny McCarthy's scream.
It does. She's great at that, unfortunately.
That was a bit like the opposite of Scream 6, actually, where like 6, I think, did quite a good job of taking advantage of the new setting, and 3 kind of didn't. Like, they never, because it was such a parody and it was so dumb.
Yeah.
They didn't live up to the potential of it being on a set.
I mean, also 3 was like, it had its ending leaked, I believe, and then they had to redo it.
It was the same for 2.
Yeah, so they kept doing that, and then they had to like re-edit it. I think that really hurt the process. And it was also written by a different writer, or was it a different director?
It was a different writer, and she wrote 4 as well.
Yeah.
And it was like diminishing returns on her.
Yeah. Although I personally like, I liked, maybe it's because like that was the first time I saw them in the cinema, was Emma Roberts' Scream.
That was the first one I saw
as well. Yeah, so I think I have like a bit of a dissociation with it where I'm like, oh yeah, I like that one more than I expect. Mm-hmm. I do. The latest series of reboots never really did much for me, if I'm going to be honest. Like, I was like, it's fine, but I never felt like I needed this. You know what I mean? Can't Sydney just be happy? Can she have a break?
Something just came screaming back to me.
Scream.
Oh, I'm not doing this on purpose. Something just came screaming back to me. Where do you land on the Scream TV series? Did you ever try it?
I never, no.
It was awful.
I've heard that.
It was awful, like unwatchable.
The thing about the Scream TV series, if I remember right, is that it came out the same exact time that like Scream Queens.
Yeah.
And, like, that was during my, let's say, the peak of my interest in Ryan Murphy. And I like
Senorita Olsen.
Well, like, no, seriously, because it was, I found it because Scream Queens was just like a comedy show doing like horror drag. Mm-hmm. And I thought it was really funny in that like Ryan Murphy old popular TV show kind of way. And then, you know, it kind of really spun out after that. I think the next project after that was The Prom. That was the beginning of the end.
Oh, really? Yeah. Oh, okay.
That was before his Netflix days.
Yeah, it was.
And so like, that's why I never watched the Scream series. So I never really bothered with it. I was like, I don't see how this is
I think it could have been, they could have gotten so much out of the Scream series. Sure. It's such a shame. I think, and this is what came screaming back to me. I was fully in my, like, I think I was in my early 20s, maybe. I wrote a Scream TV series fan fiction.
Of course you did.
Because I was so upset.
That is so embarrassing.
I was so upset. but you know what? I'm kind of proud of it. I wish I'd written it properly. I kind of wrote like a
This is what you did with Wicked Part 2. I just started writing.
No, I didn't do that in the end. I did kind of want to do that, but I have...
You plotted
I
it
have
out.
Like a job and a life now. I have like stuff to do, so I don't do that kind of stuff anymore. Right, I never finish that kind of stuff, although I do have the instinct. But I had some really good ideas for my Scream TV series. This is what the podcast is going to be now. I'm going to recap my Scream TV series.
You've got 1 minute of this.
Okay.
And then I'm going to shut it down.
For my Scream TV series, I did a bunch of stuff that they did in Scream 5 in the end. And when I watched it years and years later, I was like, oh my God, they did the Reddit thing as well. Because mine was like, they met on Reddit. And I had like a podcaster, because I was trying to replace Gail with someone.
Mm-hmm.
And it was when true crime was starting to become a thing. And then they did that in the new Halloween films. So I was ahead of the time.
Interesting. You just made me think of that when you were saying that. One of the reasons I didn't like Screams 5 and 6, the new ones.
Yes.
Is I didn't like the modernization of things. I like it as a very 90s property. I like it as a very like early era thing. I didn't need it modernized or being brought back to this moment. I didn't feel like it had anything interesting to say. I do feel like the first Scream films did have interesting to say. It was about motherhood.
It was also about the technology of the time. It was very kind of, it was very 90s, and it was very much about the technology of the time of like portable phones and
I think I'd say I'd take it more
VHSs and
I actually might like, not that I disagree with you, but I might displace that a little bit. I think that the technology interest was like media, was like news media.
Also, it was the first generation to like be watching stuff at home. They are referencing all these horror films and stuff and watching them at home and watching videos, which was new to newish. You know, film was slower to adopt kind of cultural stuff back then.
Yeah.
But it was kind of, you know, within the last 10 years that people have really started doing that.
Yeah, I just don't need that modernization glaze. Also, the other thing I didn't like about it was I hated how there's like a retroactive forced heterosexuality of the first Scream film by making sure like one of the gay guys has a daughter. And I'm like, you know what? No. I refute that. Sorry, Melissa. Love you, girl. But like, no. Those men were fucking each other.
That also, I think my favorite thing about Scream 1 is that there's this twist of it being self-referential, but it's really simple.
Six. Seven.
But it's like, it might be seven. Oh, seven.
Six, seven.
I was just talking about Scream 7. Has anyone done like a, have they not gone on TikTok and been like, Scream 7? Yeah, I'm doing the hands.
I think 6-7 is dead now.
Yeah, I know. That's why they would be doing it more than ever. Keir Starmer's doing it.
It's just them and Kamala and Keir.
Yeah. The Scream Killer Kamala and Keir.
That's 6-7 HQ with Kamala.
Yeah.
God, what a loser. Sorry.
But, yeah, honestly, yeah. Yeah, it's very simple. And there's this kind of farcical quality to Scream 1 where it's kind of operates like, it's almost a bit like The Importance of Being Earnest or something. Do you know what I mean? Like, there's this kind of, especially that final scene at the end, them running around this house over and over, and someone's getting killed in the garage, and then someone falls out the window and sees the girl. And like, do you know what I mean? And then, like, the bit where Stu, it's Matthew Lillard and Jamie Kennedy, and they're both going, like, it's him, and she's like, fuck you both, and she slams the door on them. Mm. And there's this kind of, like, farcical. It's a little bit Tom and Jerry.
There's a wackiness.
There's a wackiness and kind of a comedy to the structure of that
especially
script.
Also, like, the way the ghost face moved. I think there was, like, a bit of, like, slapsticky kind of... Like you're saying, Tom and Jerry, I think, is an interesting comp. Because I do see that there. It's a bit Looney Tunesy.
My dad...
Which I think... Actually, sorry to interrupt you. Yeah, I was going to say, I think it's Looney Tunesy, which I think is why, like, it ended up... honestly, to me, I know Ghostface is, like, this huge cultural figure.
Mm.
To me, the bigger cultural figure was... You remember that?
Well, yeah, but what's that got to do with it?
The scary movies. And oh, the scary right. movies, like the ghost face doing what's up to me. Like, that's a bigger cultural marker somehow.
Really?
That is where my mind goes to first with Ghostface. I mentioned that, but I mentioned that to say that I think that is why it ended up transferring so well. Is because...
That's probably why it's still alive now when it shouldn't be.
Yeah.
Is because of Scary Movie.
Yeah, but I feel like that's why... Because it was funny. Because like you were saying, because there's like a comedic aspect of Scream that I think... Scary Movie, the Wayans brothers, Wayans family, end up picking out really, really well.
I mean, I don't know if they picked it out well. I don't really get Scary Movie, to be honest. I especially that first one, it's already this parody. It's like a clever parody. And they're like, what if we take a clever parody and we parody the clever parody and make it dumb? And it's like...
That's comedy, baby. That's just jokes.
I don't know. I'm not a Scary Movie person. I don't really
care. I am. I'm very excited. I just saw today that the Scary Movie 6 trailer just came out. Wayne Brothers are back actually writing them. So I'm just like, great.
I think the one good... Yeah, well, that's what I was going to say. The one good thing to come out of a Scary Movie is Regina.
Anna Faris, poor girl.
I'm not a fan of Anna Faris. I think she's fine. I like Regina in it as well. Oh, I quite like Anna in it as well, actually.
Yeah.
I do quite like those two in it. I find
also, I'll tell you the other good thing is...
And it's in the performances because it's not in the writing of those jokes. It's just in their performances.
Oh, no, I think... Oh, she don't love herself. Sorry, that's great. But, what I was going to say, though, is my thing that I... Other thing I take away is the Wayans brothers.
Oh, no, I can't.
Oh, my God, I love...
Oh, no, not to me.
But they're so beautiful. Each and every one of them, I'm just like, oh, you. No, you. No, you.
I have such a distaste for Scary Movie, actually, that I think that's what's ruined it. Because I think, actually, the one in Scary Movie, I remember being kind of turned on when I was a kid, because there's, like, a bit where they come out or something.
Oh, yeah, one of
them. Him and
gay.
The other guy, and then there's kind of a brief bit where they're, like, bumming. And I was remember being a bit like, oh. Which it was supposed to be like grotesque.
Yeah.
And I was like,
Whatever. Well, he's got a trans kid now, so that's fine.
Oh, that's good.
They're very loving. Anyway, enough Scary Movie. Yeah, so Scream.
Oh, I had something to say about something that you were saying about Scream, which was that I don't think they ever modernized it enough. They never did anything that really spoke to our cultural and kind of technological moment. And it didn't have to be complicated, but they never managed to do anything. They never managed to find a modern version of what they did in the first one.
I mean, they're just in a cycle now, like regurgitating. The thing about the first two of the reboot franchise was that like they were they were trying to do something else, and for that, at least I appreciated it.
Yeah.
They were trying to attempt something, like a sister relationship and all of that. I was like, okay, cool. It seems like we've finally taken a step after years in the wilderness, mentioning the Scream series, but also mentioning that Emma Roberts one, you know, mm-hmm. it just felt like confusion.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the biggest tragedy of, like, that sixth one as we move into the seventh phase is that, like, it looked like it was about to get good.
Yeah. Although, if they hadn't gotten it right before that, they'd not... I think the six came the closest to kind of something. But if they didn't manage to get that right, then they weren't going to get
it
right.
I mean, here's the other thing is that, like... here's why we're talking about this, is, or at least why I want to talk about this, is that, like, I severely... don't care about letting go of Scream. I'm good. I don't need to watch it. I'm not, like, dying to catch up to it. I think as soon as the stuff happened with Melissa, who got fired for saying that Palestinians are being genocided, I was like, okay, yeah, no, I can just flush this down. I don't care about this. It's not, I'm not missing anything. That might be because of, like, my general, and then I loved Scream. They were a part of, like, I guess a significant type of my time in my life. I don't know whether I'm just, like, getting to this point in my life where I'm just, like, things that are actively harming me.
People need to let things go.
Let things go.
You're never going to feel the way you felt about the thing that you love when you first saw it.
I'm just, like, I'm so tired of nostalgia as well.
Yeah, I'm so tired of nostalgia. And I think this is the thing, on top of the Melissa Barrera thing, so I would have probably watched this, because I do like the ritual of going to catch up on the latest.
The world is comforting. The Scream world, as a watcher, you like it. You
yeah.
Know? Yeah. But,
and there's something about, you know, they come out once in a while, you go and see it. I probably would have gone to see this if it wasn't for Melissa Barrera. But then I think because of the Melissa Barrera of it all, they were kind of like, okay, the audience know that we hate them. So let's try and normalize all the worst things in the industry. And then particularly the use of AI, I feel like, I don't know if this is true, I don't know, I haven't looked into it too hard, but I feel like there's going to be AI playing a part in the film as well.
There is.
In the story
of
the film.
Part of the storyline, yeah. I know this from, like, reading spoilers, by the way, because I'm not spoiler-phobic.
So that's, I saw a couple of spoilers somewhere, but I wasn't sure if it was true or not, I didn't know. So, so it just seemed to be part of this... they're just using it as part of a machine, like they absolutely don't care. And it really kind of shows you, we already knew, but this has been a very in-your-face example about how much these studios hate the audience. It's it really feels like, fuck you.
And why hate? Why are you using the word hate specifically?
Because they are hoping that sheep who don't care about anything, would not sheep, pigs will turn up and eat their swill. And they're just trying to, while they're at it, they're going to normalize AI some more. They need another arm of their machine to normalize AI a bit more. They're going to help with some gambling app. They're going to do that as well and get people to gamble on who's on films as opposed to just sporting events. Who's going to survive the film? You can gamble about that now as well. You can use AI to put yourself in the film as well, and you can do some stupid bullshit like that. The whole thing is cynical, it's like next level cynical, and I think it's because there was such outrage about Melissa Barrera that they're like, let's just try and make as much money out of this as we can, let's be completely shameless about that, and let's just be completely honest about how much we don't respect this audience.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. I think there's like a fundamental disrespect. I don't know. That feels too active to me. Like, that's why I think I called out the word hate, because to me it feels a bit like...
I feel like it is active here.
I don't. I think it's benign, and that's the actual evilness of them. I think, like you said, I agree that they're just like, well, the people will eat their soul anyway. This controversy isn't going to lose us a significant portion of the audience, and that the protest they felt wouldn't shift. And you know what? A $45 million picture just first weekend... sales are in. They just made $100 million. So they were right. They were right.
Oh my God.
It worked. They were like, this is a franchise. It will survive based off of nostalgia. I think what they did was they hit overdrive with the nostalgia button, believing that that will end up drawing sort of the base of it in regardless. Which, you know what?
I did not know it made so much money.
It did. Which I like. Yes. I don't think... I think there's like a hatred towards
I'm saying hatred specifically because of Paramount and Ellison. Mm-hmm. I think there's like a hatred towards the people, the faction that is represented by Melissa Barrera, who's boycotting, you know? I think that's true.
I think in terms of this, it has been a little bit of a mask off hatred of the audience situation in this instance, whereas I think it's more benign in something like Wicked for Good, where they were talking about how genius it was that they were flooding the market with all this Wicked merch and doing cheap team, and they were like, oh, we're making Wicked inescapable, blah, blah, blah. I just think that this approach has been like, there was a veneer of positivity they were slapping all over Wicked. There's less of an in-your-face. It was less crass. Partnering with a gambling app is crass. Making an AI feature, like an AI app, in this day and age is crass right now. Like, Wicked didn't do that.
I hear you. What I'm saying, though, is Wicked, when Wicked was coming out, they didn't have the facilities to do that. AI wasn't as big as it is now.
No, they absolutely did.
But they didn't have an app to, like, well, AI was burgeoning. I don't think it was to the
Wicked
point.
Wicked Part 2, last year.
Okay, fair. I guess. I just don't know whether that's any different than anything else that Wicked is doing. I think, like, the Oscars have an AI sponsorship. AI Golden Globes were doing that as well. That's, like, now the industry standards. It's not like I don't judge them harshly for it.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't think it's any less evil or more evil than everything else that they're doing.
No, I don't think it's less evil. I think it's more honest in a way.
Yeah.
It's been more honest in a way that has felt more... a bit more fuck you to the audience. I feel like before there's
I think you're saying that because they are saying fuck you to you specifically, the audience who is boycotting.
Yeah, well, yeah, but they don't usually say fuck you to the audience. There's a bit more of a sneakiness to it, or like a, not a sneakiness, but with Wicked for Good, for example, with all their flooding merch, was like, they wouldn't admit to disrespecting their audience.
Yes, I hear you, but I do think that like the difference, if we're going to use Wicked as an example, there's a significant difference. Is that, like, with this, there was an incident with Melissa where, like, they couldn't hide.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're right. I think there was a mask-off moment. But with Wicked, I feel like there was a bit more mask. But I'm not, and I don't know this for sure, but I can guarantee you that all of the principal cast members were told not to comment about ongoing situation.
Mm-hmm.
To me, what's more evil, you know?
Oh, yeah, totally. I think
there
is
a part of me...
because it's revealing, if anything.
There is a part of me that's almost always appreciative in moments like this when people take their mask off. I'm so, okay, at least now I know. At least, like, you've given me honesty. And I can, like, take that in and appreciate that. So maybe that's also weighing in for me. But I think maybe we're disagreeing about nuances, but not the fundamental bare truth, which is, like, fuck Paramount. Fuck the Ellisons, fuck Spyglass Media.
Yeah.
And also fuck all the people who are talking about this movie and not engaging with that. Because here's my thing, is that I'm a critic. I am a cultural commentator. I'm someone whose work is based off of looking at pop culture, talking about it publicly, and engaging with it on a public level. I think it's a complete abdication of duty. The amount of you out there right now who are podcasting about Scream and doing everything that you can to not talk about what happened to Melissa, when that is obviously the biggest topic out there.
Mm-hmm.
And that is what I want to focus in on. That's why I really wanted to talk about this today, is because of the rate at which this is happening.
I'm trying to look up how much money Scream's made. Fucking hell.
Mm-hmm.
That's nearly as much money as the last film made already.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. It's a nostalgia franchise property. They bet on that, and they were right.
I just can't believe it. What I find funny, though, it took me a while to find it because I accidentally clicked on some page about how Wikipedia loves Ramadan.
Lovely.
Wikipedia loves Ramadan 2026. And I was like, okay, sure. Let me see how much Scream 6 made.
And here's the other thing about Scream 7, is this film is still going to be airing globally and worldwide.
Mm-hmm.
This film is going to be airing in the Middle East. It's going to be in cinemas in the Middle East, in certain spaces that probably shouldn't, or you'd think they wouldn't air it, but, you know, here we are. The world is not fair. The world is rudderless.
Scream 6 made $169 million, so they're already well on their way to making...
Yeah, by the time they open internationally, they'll make at least that.
I can't believe this. It's
Why
been
not?
So much bad press.
Why not? Why can't you believe this? Why can't you believe this?
I guess it's just there's been so much bad press around it, but bad press is press, I guess. It's just there's such a kind of active element in going out to watch a film these days. Mm-hmm. And that's what I was counting on a little bit, is like, there can't be that much interest in Scream anymore. They've lost a huge star in Jenna Ortega. I didn't see people actively wanting to go out. Like, it's not like we live 20 years ago where going to the cinema was part of people's routine. That's not really part of the routine mm-hmm. anymore. So I could imagine this doing well on streaming, maybe. But
something with, like, with these eventized franchise properties, I, like, kind of just think there's, like, a roof that they're going to, like, meet anyway. It's more mm-hmm. so about, like, the long tail. Will this film end up, in the long run, being as successful as the rest of the franchise? I think that's the bigger question. I think that is the thing that will matter most. So the first day opening sales, I've kind of just settled myself. Like, I think Avengers that's going to come out, that's going to be a big hit as well. You know, there are some things that feel like just because of the stuff around them will meet that threshold of success, quote unquote.
Mm-hmm.
But if we actually want to ascertain whether we had an impact in terms of our resistance towards it, that's something that's going to happen down the line. So maybe this is like a chance for us to tell the people, if you're looking at these numbers, don't feel too depressed. Feel depressed.
Hopefully, like, I feel really depressed. No, I've just found out, so I haven't had time to acclimate.
There's a lot of shitty people in the world. You knew this.
Yeah, a lot, though. And yeah. willing to... in my mind, shitty people are lazy. So I thought at least all the shitty people would stay home because they've got Netflix bilge to watch.
I think this is maybe a good opportunity then to actually talk about then what does it take.
To?
Like Melissa Barrera, the lead of a film, got fired. The second lead of the film, and opted to not join this project.
Mm. The director
ended up leaving the project as well.
Mm-hmm.
We know for a fact Wes Craven's politics would have probably disagreed with how Spyglass is doing things right now.
Oh, he had good politics.
He had good politics.
Okay. I thought this was going the other way, and I was
well, no,
really
decent
worried.
Politics.
Yeah.
What is going to make a difference in that then? Because Paramount just bought Warner Brothers, and they're about to get a lot more powerful.
Yeah.
And we know for a fact Paramount has a do not hire list of actors for their support of Palestine. But like, I do think there's like maybe a moment for us to like reflect on that. Maybe think about like, okay, is it? To me, it's about personal. It's like a personal sort of choices and responsibility. I'm not interacting with this in any like significant way, and I'm like fine with that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's good to not place much hope on other people doing anything else. Just like assess how you want to move.
I'm spiraling as we're recording this. And now I'm like, I mean, I think it's too late now. It's made its money. I think all the discourse leading up to it that's probably helped it.
Cremate.
But well, now I'm just thinking, should we even be recording this podcast? Do you know what I mean? I wanted to record this because I love Scream.
Uh-huh.
But now I'm like, because I loved Scream and I wanted to talk about why I'm not going to engage with it, even though I love it. And I wanted to talk about what I did love about the franchise before that. But now I'm like, are we kind of part of the problem that we're keeping it? Because it seems to just be, well, it's weird. It's crazy how this stuff works because there's just no rhyme or reason to it. Because sometimes there's so much discourse around something and it just will not make money. I guess they were very smart about how much they spent on this. Like the budget was relatively small.
That really hit you, didn't it? It really hit you, the success of it.
Yeah. You
didn't expect that.
I did not expect people to care. I thought anyone that's kind of...
But you
wouldn't
care
about Palestine or wouldn't care about Melissa Barrera and the AI stuff and the gambling app stuff... I thought that anybody that wouldn't care about that would just not care about Scream anymore. And
just
I thought
not hit that point where we're like sick of nostalgia as a collective yet. I don't think we're all as a collective as sick of nostalgia as we can be for them to actually stop doing it as
do you know
much.
What's crazy though. It's been almost 20 years of nostalgia.
Really?
Like when
what
did
would you define it as like the beginning of nostalgia?
It was when, so it was in the 2010s. In the early 2010s that we started to get remakes of things from the... Okay, this is when nostalgia started. When was the remake of Footloose?
Oh my god!
When was the remake of RoboCop?
I forgot about Footloose.
Footloose remake.
Footlooser.
Yeah. They're not even fun enough to be called that. Do you know what I mean?
Footlooser.
But that was the early 2010s when this stuff... So it's been like...
16 years of nostalgia,
like that when they're that wave. Because I remember Footloose as well was already on the.
It's when Trump dies, we'll be done with nostalgia.
Oh, I don't know.
I think it's when.
Is
Trump
he responsible
dies.
For this?
No, I don't. I think maybe partly because Trump got in, and then everybody was just like "fuck," and then he left. And then Biden got in, and he was just like, "Hey, remember Obama?"
Yeah.
And then, so I think we've been like in a weird cycle of American nostalgia that has been like propagating us through globalism.
Do you know? You know what else, though? They used to be a bit better about it. I think when we started getting really, like, trash nostalgia was the early 2010s, late 2000s, early 2010s. But actually, I think nostalgia's been a big part of the market our entire lives. Because if we look back, when did The Addams Family come out? These films based on sitcoms was, like, a huge thing in the early 90s. So it's been around forever.
I'm going to push back on that because, yes, that was, like, a remake, but it was also an adaptation. I feel like there's something
I think the quality was way better because of that. Yeah,
because of adaptation, I agree, because of changes being made, and I think that's, we've kind of lost that.
So I agree with that, but I'm just saying, if you think about it,
no, you're right. We've
it's
always
been a nostalgia-based economy since our entire lives.
I do think, like, this is something I think about sometimes, where I feel like part of the reason we're in this is because maybe, because the boomers held on to power positions in the industry
for And they won't die, and they won't retire.
And I feel like some of them have began to die. Just some. And, like, now the Gen Xers are taking their spots. And I feel like the stuff when they were young adults and with kids, is that's the stuff that they're bringing back.
Well, like what?
I mean, what's being rebooted right now? Fucking Scream.
Scream. Yeah, Scream is very Gen X.
It's very, we're getting, like, 90s revivalism as well now, is the thing. And I feel like that's a Gen Xer thing, in my opinion. There's, like, a 90s kind of millennial revivalism that's on that cusp. And I think it's just because the Gen Xers are now just kind of stepping into those positions of power where they can make some decisions.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, that's unsatisfying because, like, the millennials, who, in a traditional timeline, would be the ones making some decisions.
Yeah.
are being frustrated because we're forced to deal with, like, I don't know, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle reboot for the 16,000th time.
Yeah.
I think that's partly it. I think that's an influence in there as well.
Give me your Scream
ranking.
Ranking.
Oh, yes. Oh, God, I didn't even... Oh, I didn't know this was happening. That's my Beyoncé from Pretty Hurts.
Oh, that's
a good question. I didn't expect... that question. The fourth word. Pretty.
You originally it was Cynthia Erivo. You were like, I didn't know that was happening.
I didn't know that was happening. That is my favorite line in that exchange, and I feel like not enough people.
The whole thing, it was layer upon layer of greatness.
Ariana's little comma eyebrows just meeting in the middle.
Oh, God. Go on, rank. Stop ranking. Deflecting.
I'm gonna start from the top.
Oh,
because that's easier for me.
We need suspense.
Yeah, you can get suspense to think of the one that I think is shit.
Okay, fine. Yeah, fine.
I'm gonna put 2 up top.
Really?
I really like 2. I like the reveal into Billy Loomis's mom. I love that actress.
I liked
What's her name? She's from Rosa.
Is it Laura Metcalf?
Yes.
Laurie Metcalf.
Fantastic. I love Laurie Metcalf.
From
Lady Bird
is what I was about to say, yeah.
And Roseanne.
And Roseanne.
She played Jackie, Roseanne's sister, which I watched as a child. And fucking hated Roseanne, the TV show. And then I felt bad about it because people were just like, oh, it's about the working class. I'm just like, well, she's awful. She's a bad person.
I remember liking Roseanne as, like, a little kid, but I don't really remember.
I will say her husband at the time, John Goodman, just, like, maybe gave me a little interest in some bear activity.
Oh, really?
I watched it, I was like, the bear necessity.
Oh, I always wanted John Goodman to, like, be my dad.
I think it was that and Blues Brothers.
Is he one of the Blues Brothers?
Am I confusing him with Dan Aykroyd?
Yeah. Let me just double check.
Double check that.
Okay, but tell us number.
But number, so 2 is 1. I'm going to put 1 at 2.
Okay.
Because obviously, shout out to Rose McGowan, who went on to the heights of Charmed.
Yes.
Then I'm going.
Can I just say about Rose McGowan? By the way, it is Dan Aykroyd. Just and about who? Rose McGowan.
And Jim Belushi. Yes, go on. About Rose.
Like her one. Decent performance was Scream, where she was, like, acting like a human.
I like Jawbreaker because she wasn't acting like a human.
But she can't really deliver lines. She's so stiff. There's something about it that I really enjoy.
Yeah.
But she's, like, very stiff. Like, she talks in every project she's in apart from Scream 1. The way that Nicki Minaj was talking on stage when she was trying to remember her lines when she was at Turning Point USA.
Yeah. Oh, that's so funny. No, she's not great. She was a model.
Love her, though.
Like, to me, I always think of her
she's, like, the most beautiful woman in the world.
She's beautiful. Yeah. She is beautiful.
There's something kind of a little bit ghostly about her. Like, I think she's so beautiful.
That said, I've always been Team Prue, and it is what it is. Moving on.
I was saying to Carly before we started recording, I'm Team Paige. If I had to pick one from Charmed,
yeah,
I'm Team Paige, although I think she's worth the least out of all of them.
I will say that on average, my favorite is probably Piper when she became a bitch from later on in the season.
No.
But I say that on average because she was there the longest. But I think I like Prue the best because big sister kind of energy.
I hated Prue. As a kid, I hated
Prue. She's the only one that was right about everything. Everybody else was so annoying.
Oh, no. I hated Prue. I liked Piper and Phoebe at the time. Then Phoebe
was
turned,
the most useless.
I turned on Phoebe.
I turned bad on Phoebe, yeah. But then it was Prue that I always liked the elder sister.
What? Rose Rank Collins. The fucking films.
So I think it's 2-1... 4.
Really? I hate 4. Apart from the
4 ending. Is Emma, right?
Emma, yeah.
Yeah, I'm gonna go 4 as my third. And then for my fourth, I will do 3, 6, 5.
3, 6, 5. Okay, so you do think of 3 as one of the... You prefer 4 to 3?
I do.
I think 3... Like, 4, I don't like 4 because it's like a diluted version of 3. It's like 3 is at least so bonkers and dumb... That, like, I enjoy it.
I do think, four I think the twist like, in 4 ends up, like, fixing the movie for me.
It doesn't fix the rest of it. I like that's the only part of 4 that I'm entertained by.
I don't like 3, really. Partly because it was, I'm assuming, the cheapest one to license for television. So growing up, it was always on TV.
Oh,
all
yeah.
the time.
Okay.
I don't like it, though, because I hate the reveal. I thought the reveal was super stupid.
You know, it was supposed to be Angelina and Roman.
I
know all the I know the characters' names off
that. I know like the fix they did that as a fix, but I just hated the reveal. I hated the final fight. I remember finding it really stupid in that weird sort of like hall of house of mirrors, weird building. I didn't like it. I didn't like any of the new characters that much. Really.
No, terrible.
I
think it was legitimately terrible.
I think there's also the other thing about 4 is that the stuff that it was playing with seemed really interesting to me. Like, oh, the idea of they're doing a reboot of the movie. They're doing a sequel to the movie. And they, like, recreated the house. I remember that scene when she was walking along the neighborhood and it was, like, a soundstage.
In 3.
Campbell. Yeah, in 3.
Yeah.
And I remember thinking, oh, that's so great. That,
yeah.
There's, like, so much you could do here. But
yeah.
Then, yeah, I think really what it is the reveal really killed it for me. I hated this.
So the reveal's very important to you.
I don't know if it's the most important thing. I do think, like, it can make sense of the rest of the picture for me. Because I do think I watch this as a detective mystery.
Oh, I don't.
I do. I'm like an Agatha Christie head, remember? Little gray cells, I get them working, me and Marple. So I do watch it, and I'm trying to figure out who did it and why they did it, you know?
Oh, I'm willing to just go along with the ride.
But
to me,
this, like, long-lost brother, fuck that.
Oh, my God, yeah, that was so dumb.
It was so dumb.
Because at least Scream 2, they changed it as well, but at least it all worked.
Yeah.
There was, like, a Randy and Stew kind of guy where he's kind of... Or there's a Stew kind of guy, and then there's, like, the mum.
Yeah.
And the mum was good because it was, like, a throwback to... What's the name of that film? The one in the summer camp, Friday the 13th.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it was a throwback to Friday the 13th, so that worked. And she was very good in that
She was, like,
scene.
Really funny, but also, like, really scary. And also, I loved the play element. Cassandra, that was just so stupid and gay.
Yeah.
But also very, I think, freshman at college.
Yeah.
Like, very dramatic. I did find it really weird that she was an actress. I was like, why are you an actress? You're not charming enough. That's the other thing. Okay, here's my other thing about the Scream franchise. That I know everybody loves Neve Campbell, whatever. But I do think that Sydney is really annoying.
I think Sydney's great. I think Neve Campbell is actually... One thing I...
To me, it's all about Gail. It's always all about Gail.
One thing that I think that is really telling, actually, of where the industry's gotten to is that, like... Are you okay? Your foot's gone to sleep.
Yeah, go on.
One thing that's really telling about, like, how films are produced nowadays and cast is just, like, they used to cast kind of crappy films really well back in the day. Like, I don't think Scream was a crappy film in any way, Scream 1, but kind of was crappy adjacent. Like, it could have been crappy.
It was pretty much an indie.
It was like, a good
it
version.
It didn't have a budget.
It was a
like...
good version of a crappy film. I think it did have a budget, though.
It had. I feel like they didn't know what it would do, but they were like, let's just go for it, you know?
But they used to cast these films really well. They used to get people that can really act and really elevate. I think Neve Campbell really elevated the material.
I think, speaking just on that note of casting, sorry to interrupt you, but I do feel like that is actually a big notes, because the first story we associate with Scream is Drew Barrymore, right? Like, the casting was clever. It was engaging with that as a meta-text, and I do feel like they kind of lost that as it went on.
I have something to say about my fan fiction. Mm-hmm. There was a genius part in my fan fiction where it, like, so there's...
It turns out to be Julia Roberts here to kill Roberts.
No. What happened was...
Eric Roberts?
We are taking this seriously. Eric Roberts is not coming near any of my projects.
Bitch, you can't stop it. You will not stop
Actually, who am I to turn my
nose
up?
He was in The Substance. No, he wasn't in The Substance. That was Dennis Quaid.
Yeah. Who am I to turn my nose up at Eric Roberts? I don't know. I changed my mind.
How
I love
dare
him.
You? he was hot for like those 2 years of the 90s.
So there was going to be like a fake out Drew Barrymore girl who's the first girl to die in the first 10 minutes in like a Drew Barrymore way. And then the first episode's going to follow who you think is Sydney. But then she dies at the end of the first episode. And it turns out she's the Drew Barrymore. And then the second episode is going to be all about trying to work out who the lead character was.
It does, to me, it always does. I just keep thinking
that's
like,
genius. Write your emails in.
I feel like six, it should have been really cool if it was the final girl ended up being Ghostface, which is where it felt like it was going. I would have liked that. What I actually
that's
think,
not what I'm there for Scream, though.
I don't care what you're there for.
Oh!
I'm there too, okay? And maybe I matter too, okay?
Well, you fucking don't.
Fuck you, bitch. I would have liked, I think that would have been interesting. They could have done it in an interesting way. But especially because if you had Jenna Ortega versus Melissa, that would have been fun. Yeah. That would have been cool. Yeah. It was like a confrontation.
I like the sisterly bond.
No, go fuck yourself. what I would like is actually for us to start a movie with a final girl, you know, like someone we associate with, like a Sydney, right? But then she dies halfway. And then it just shifts to like some other person.
That must exist.
It must. I feel like the Scream franchise hasn't done that.
No, they haven't.
Right?
No.
I feel like, oh, they really should. I know they'll never do this, but kill Neve. Kill Sydney.
Does she die at the end of this one? Do you know?
No.
She doesn't die?
All the expected people are alive.
Gail doesn't die either?
No.
Oh, for God's sake.
Yeah.
I thought they might kill Gail or Sydney in this one.
No, they need... You know what? So here's my big frustration with 5 and 6. Mm. And then they came so close to killing Gail.
You wanted them to kill Gail?
I thought if they killed Gail, it would have been something that would have pushed it to like a different...
But they just did Dewey. So...
Yeah, I don't care. Dewey barely mattered.
No, Dewey was core 3.
I didn't care about Dewey. Fuck Dewey. It was Gail and Sydney.
So do Mindy and the brother, do they survive? Do you know?
Yes.
They survive as well?
Yeah. The new ones, right?
Yeah. Oh, for God's sake.
They do after, similar to, I think, 5, getting, like, fucking gut stabbed.
They both get, like, wrecked.
They are wrecked, but no, apparently they survive.
And they survive.
But apparently, like, they barely have a role, and it feels like...
And apparently she's a completely different character as well. Yeah. They really didn't do her character justice.
They barely had characters. They were, like, a sketch of a character.
Oh, I thought she, more than him... was like the best part of...
I thought they were beautiful.
I think he's very beautiful. I think she's a very nice lady.
I think you're a gay man who needs to shut his mouth.
Like, I'm here watching her films, so...
Yeah, that's right,
one
bitch.
Of us is more
that's
beautiful
right,
than
bitch.
The other.
One of us is sat down paying to see her, okay?
Was
actually, no, fuck her.
Actually,
I'm sorry, fuck
who
that
went, yeah, a fucking scab who went back to that film.
And then, do you see she made a post? My character, I've chosen for them to have they-them pronouns. You fucking bitch.
I love that.
Like, you fucking bitch.
Oh my God. Do you remember those TikToks in like 2020? There were like these TikToks that were the difference between liberals and conservatives.
What's that?
And it was like, there would be like, conservatives would be like, I think disabled people should die. And then liberals would be like, I think disabled people should die, he, him.
But enough about the BAFTAs. No, that's not what we're saying. We're saying that's what other people are saying. You leave us alone, okay? Not me, bitch.
I have one last thing I would like to say about the films. I don't know if this is going to be a great conversation topic, but it's just a really important part of the Scream franchise to me, is just how good and how layered those two opening sequences are in the first two films. So the Drew Barrymore one, I think, is so great. It's so layered. It sets it up pretty well. It's like one of the only parts of the film that's like really scary.
Then the second one,
it's really tragic.
Sarah Michelle Gellar.
No, the second one is Jada Pinkett Smith.
Oh my God, Jada.
And then that's such a great scene. It's so good. I love how it like catches you up.
See, I'm telling you, the second one is just like firing in all cylinders, you know? Like,
I don't know. Jada. The second one
had Buffy.
It gets convoluted really fast.
It does. But like, and I never lose the joy.
I like the simplicity of the first one.
I get it.
And I think that's been missing from all of the rest.
I think for me, it's like one and two are like neck and neck, really. Uh-huh. Because it's a sequel.
Actually is the closest that it gets to some kind of simplicity.
That's fair. But I think because number two is a sequel, I think because it's a sequel, they had like a bigger mountain to climb for me.
Well, that's the fact that they made it. About that opening scene that I love so much is like the fact that they catch you up through this meta narrative that you're watching a film of this ridiculous version of the Drew Barrymore scene with Heather Graham.
Yeah.
And it's still really tragic. It's still a really tragic scene as well. Yeah. I do love how sad those scenes are because they kind of have no right to. The Drew Barrymore or Jada Pinkett Smith. No, Jada Pinkett.
Honestly, the Drew Barrymore one, I was so distracted by the wig. I still, to this day, I'm so distracted by the wig. I'm just like, bangs.
Can you imagine a teenager having hair like that?
That's the old, like, she's a teenager?
Yeah, what's happening?
But you're like, hello, my mom's not home. I was like, mom? Mother? Like, are you, like, her caretaker? What's going on?
But they do so much.
That was a 35-year-old woman.
Yeah, she really was.
It looked like she was about to go work at a bank.
At the bank, yeah.
It's very bad.
Yeah.
God bless her.
But that's also the night. That's what happens. What we think of as old lady hair. I was thinking about this when we watched that episode of Murder, She Wrote.
Yeah.
I was thinking, what we think of as old lady hair is like, that was some young person's hair.
I'm sure once, that...
And then they just never changed it, and it became old lady hair.
I'm so terrified. One day, you know, like, the television straight waves?
Sure.
Like, the continuity waves. So if you'll notice, if you watch any show on network TV, or just television, really, every woman has the same hairstyle, which is, like, wavy sides, and then the rest is just straightened. Okay. Because that's easier for continuity.
Oh.
Yeah. So I'm just like, at a certain point, we're going to switch over. And that hair is going to be so ridiculous. Especially now we have wig technology.
Yeah.
We're going to look at that and be like, oh my gosh, she looks like she's 67. Look at her beachy waves. What the fuck? But yeah, Victor, so was that our thoughts on the Scream 7?
I feel like I could go on about Scream for even longer. Mm-hmm. There's so much. I know this film so well, and there's so much I love about it.
Should we give them a recommendation for something else to watch as they try and like wean themselves off until the high seas? Sleepaway Camp?
Well, I don't think that it quite... Nothing quite captures the gloss...
Of Scream.
Of Scream.
Yeah. Doesn't need to.
But yeah, I think that whole era of films, there's something to... I used to think of I Know What You Did Last Summer as like the kind of off-brand Scream, but I actually think it's...
Did it come first?
No, I think it came just after.
Did it?
But like the same... Like within the same 12 months.
J-Law, Brandy.
No, that's number two.
Is it?
That's... I Still Know What You Did Last Summer with Brandy.
Yes! Yeah. Oh my God.
Brandy survives.
They did a sequel and she's in it. They came out with a sequel.
There was, I still know what, there was I Always Know, and there's another one as well. And Brandy's in it. Good for her.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know if she survived that one.
Is what's her name in it as well?
Jennifer Love Hewitt, yeah. A few months ago, that's what people were like really talking a lot about Jennifer Love Hewitt's body.
What about it?
Because it's been years and she's changed.
Oh, gross. Yeah. Oh. Yeah.
And like that was people confrontation with a woman who's like over the age of 40.
Oh.
Who used to be a sex symbol.
For some reason, the way you said it made me think that like she'd been like working
Kelly
out
Osborne.
And she was really... I thought she was maybe really muscular or something, or like
she just looks
bodybuilding.
Like
I don't know.
She just looks like an average, beautiful woman.
Yeah.
You know? Like it's just Jennifer Love Hewitt.
I hate when people go on about these women as if they're not like incredibly attractive still. Especially when they're
also
like...
Also, Jennifer Love Hewitt auditioned for Paige. To go back to our charm conversation. Moving on.
She would have been Paige?
She auditioned for her. She almost got it, yeah.
They turned down Jennifer Love Hewitt at the height of her powers?
I think so. And she went on to do Ghost Whisperer.
That's right. It is better than Ghost Whisperer.
Do you remember Ghost Whisperer?
No, I couldn't watch it. I was watching Charmed and I couldn't watch Ghost
Mama,
Whisperer.
Mama, this is a Charmed household. The power of three will set me free. Not that witch nonsense.
Poor Aisha Tyler.
Oh my god.
Poor, she didn't even make it to season 2.
They killed her off.
Yeah.
It was really upsetting, actually.
I couldn't watch it. Really wanted to watch like
She didn't know she was dead.
No, she Bruce Willis'd it, didn't she?
Well, Aisha, we remember you.
But yeah, I Know What You Did Last Summer is good on its own terms, I think.
Okay.
Do you have one? Halloween H20 is one of my favorites as well. Terrible. The Faculty is also one of my favorites and kind of low-key quite bad.
I never really got into the Halloween films. I really should.
Halloween H20 is like its own thing. It's like trying to capitalize a bit on nostalgia by bringing back Jamie, okay. But mostly it's just doing Scream.
Okay. All right. So, okay, you know what? Since we're on the horror beats... Two recommendations, actually. Mm. One, I will recommend everybody listening to go to your podcast app and look for Up to Get You podcast. Oh. That is our cousin pod. They are a horror podcast. I'm actually due to feature on their next episode.
Oh, great plug.
Thank you. Mm. I just remember that. and also, I love those gals. I'm due to feature on their next episode where I went to talk about Misery. Stephen King's
Love Misery. That film.
And Rob Reiner. May he rest in peace.
Of course.
Yeah. I love that film, and I had a conversation with Margot and we were talking about like fandom, and it was a really fun conversation. I can't wait for people to hear it. That's one rec. The other recommendation I was going to say, I think you and I were talking about this actually, but Midnight Mass.
I loved that.
I love Midnight Mass. I think it's I forget the creator's name.
It's the guy that does all the horror stuff on Netflix. I forgot his name as well.
But he's not going to do those anymore because I think his Netflix deal ended.
And they don't want him back?
I think he's, like, found a bigger deal. I think he's, like, on...
Apple TV.
Or Amazon. I'm not sure.
Apple TV is
taking
crazy.
All the girls. They're taking all...
But, like, wait, nobody watches it. But go on.
I watch Apple TV. We'll get back to it.
Go on, yeah.
Midnight Mass. I think it's fantastic. It is, like, so beautifully written. And also, to me, I don't find it scary. It's eerie in a way that I really, like, enjoy sticking into. But it is also have, like, moments of...
And it's so... I thought it was so clever the way that it kind of... puts vampire lore through a new lens.
Yes.
That I really enjoy. It's so obvious to me, and I was like, why did I never think about it like this way before I saw
it's
this?
It's like really, really clever. I might do an episode about that one day.
Yeah, I'd love to.
But yeah, I didn't invite you.
I'll do my own.
You do your own, bitch. but yeah, so Midnight Mass, highly recommend everybody that watches that. And then,
yeah.
Is that a wrap?
I think so, yeah.
Do you have any other messages you'd like to tell the girls? Oh, wait, we do have one thing else.
Oh, yes, we do.
We do.
Yeah.
We're launching a Patreon.
Woo!
Finally. So you can join for free if you would like, and you're poor and don't respect me or my work.
Mm-hmm. That's the tier I will be on.
Or there, we actually have not finalized it, but there's going to be 2 other tiers as well that you can pitch in. If you want to give us some money every month for the price of a coffee or a dinner or whatever, we'd really appreciate your support and it will help us keep doing this. There'll be a proper, probably mini episode detailing everything for you guys to listen to and more information, but it should be linked at...
Keep an eye out.
We'll be making announcements soon, but anybody wants to support us, we really, really appreciate it.
I have one last thing to say about Scream. Do not watch Scream 7. Do not watch Scream 7 on a plane. Do not watch Scream 7 on a train. Do not... No, but really, don't watch any ancillary markets. They make money off of that shit. No. Don't fucking stream it.
No.
Don't fucking watch this fucking film. I'm so furious. Don't watch it. And if you watched it and paid money to go and see it in the cinema, shame on you. You go onto... AlsoPurple.com and you give us some money.
God damn you.
God damn you.
God fucking damn you. I guess I agree with you. My feelings are less strong. I think it's the morally gray area.
Yeah, well, I think you've had 5 minutes to adjust and I haven't.
I'm going through a lot. I'm having a rough time. Please forgive anything I've said this episode. I don't know what it was. I don't actually have no active memory of things I've said to you. But I hope it's okay. I'm not gonna edit too much. I'm just gonna press play and we're gonna hope for the best.
Yeah, I take back anything I might have said against the British government.
Yes.
Just in case Nigel Farage does win the next election and uses this against me in the future. I love Britain.
Let's go, Zach. Let's go, Zach.
Oh, I don't know if I want that on the record, just in case.
All right, over now. Bye, guys.